by the end of Saturday, it was, we need to take out the young dude. We need to take out the left.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time hitting 5-foot putts.
Did I see that you hit a ball so hard you broke a driver head?
That is correct. And maybe the only ball I squared up all day.
What's your handicap?
Well, we don't have to talk about that right now.
I was a member at a private course like the last 2 years, but I've never been as like into golf. Is that a humble brag, guy?
That is such a humble brag.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Lefties Lounge podcast. We are, in fact, a day late. The Shawnee hangover was real. Graphic, glad to have you. Frankie is without power right now, but glad to have you here with us. How are you? Are you making do?
I'm just making do. It's that was quite the weekend.
I don't know what it was. Was it the heat? Was it the?
I think it was a little bit of everything. I think it might have been that AC unit that was just fucking leaking for the entire time that we were in that room.
Yeah, it was miserable.
so sleep was second priority for sure.
Just the constant dripping, the drip. But we'll get into that. We have the Shawnee recap that we're gonna do, the Travelers Championship, of course, because we were out of town. It was one of the best playoffs. It was one of the longest playoffs. I don't know about best. There was 13 pars and one birdie in the playoffs.
Like absurd
amount of pars, 2 hours worth of playoffs, like barely had time. So we'll get into that a little bit. The KPMG, the women had another major, which I thought was wild. It seems like they just had the US Open and they were back, but they have some exciting news there. We have a new world number one. There's just a lot to go into. So where do you want to start, man?
I mean, I think we put a cap on Shawnee.
Yeah, I'm down. I mean, Christ, the most beautiful weather.
Yeah.
The most beautiful circumstances for everything. Really, the only thing that was bad was that AC unit, really. You know, and Lund's back on Sunday.
And to be honest, I mean, maybe we start right here. The hot dogs at the turn.
Yeah. So we actually had, I put a little questionnaire out today, letting people know that we weren't recording. And it's nice to hear from the wives once in a while. And Julia asked how the dogs were.
So ridiculous. Ridiculous. She told me that.
I thought was kind of funny. So I mean, you tell me your experience first, and then
yeah,
I actually made the switch. I made a switch.
Yeah, you did make a switch. You made a veteran switch. I jumped right in. First turn.
Yes.
Two dogs right away. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. You jumped in hard.
Oh, I know. I jumped in. Yeah. I went full on meal.
And just to be clear, we know that these are meaty dogs. These are thick hot dogs.
Facts.
Like the bun to hot dog ratio, I was never crazy about, because I'm a big ratio guy. Like, you gotta have enough bun to the hot dog. But we know that these are in, and then you come back with two dogs,
and that was where unfortunately Shawnee did a million things right this weekend, but they failed with their buns, soggy buns. They could not, it could not hold the mast of the That's actually going to be that's a little foreshadowing. We're going to talk about dick mass later. I know you think that's funny, but
I don't exactly know where I'm going with that, but I can't wait.
Okay, actually,
I honestly can't wait.
Let's do it. Well, let's do it right now. This is hilarious.
Let's finish the hot dog thing first.
No, we're not.
Okay, go.
There was a 70-year-old named Dick Mast who became eligible for the Champions Tour in 2001. This past weekend, he Monday qualified at 70 years old. He shot 65.
What?
He beat his age by 5 strokes. And as we were preparing for this podcast, I couldn't get that out of my head. Dude, he finished on the back nine. He went 12 through 14. He birdied. So 3 birdies in a row. And then he eagled 18 to shoot 5 under.
Jesus. That isn't Dick. That is incredible.
Dick Mast. And I'm talking D-I-C-K-M-A-S-T. And I just needed to find a way to work that into the pod. And
we're getting so good at segues that the girth of a hot dog just made you talk about Dick Mast. Like
a Monday Q qualifier.
It's just one. We're just really starting to put this thing together, dude.
I mean, you're right though. It's nice to see. It's nice to see everything come together like that.
Yeah, it really is just full circle. Well, congratulations. No, but, so he qualified for a Champions Tour event.
Yeah, Champions Tour event. Okay. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Let's not get crazy. It wasn't.
Yeah, but still, a 65.
Yeah, dude, 65 at age 70. Incredible. Geez. And I mean the name. I guess he'd been on the tour for like a long time. He was kind of like not a journeyman, but just like a long hauler.
Interesting stuff.
But yeah, so back to the dogs.
Back to the dog.
I'm
girthy dog.
I'm the works. I'm everything. Put it all on there, and that type of weight with the size of the dog, which is it's a great dog. The bun just couldn't hold up. You made a very quick call to hop off that though.
I made a very quick call because the second time around when we got them, it was the same girl, right?
Yeah.
And I honestly think it was part bun's fault, but it was also part her fault.
Oh.
So they boil their dogs, which.
But then they put them on the grill after.
Yeah, but I feel like there weren't that many grill marks on this one. She didn't. Yeah. She didn't put a lot of time into this.
Yeah.
And I feel like she grabbed right from the water, right from the dirty water. Right into the bun, and that's an issue. It's just not, unless you have a real. If she toasted the bun, that might be different. And Pinckney actually said that she coated the bottom with raw onion on his, which is kind of a pro move. So that kind of kept it together. So I was on the fence anyway. What I was doing this weekend. So after that first dog, it kind of didn't really sit with me that well. I've had better dogs. I don't want to ruin Shawnee's dogs. They're very good, but this sausage and peppers that I had was life-changing. Like, it was so good. The damn onions and the peppers were cold, and this thing still hit.
Wow. Like,
hard.
Yeah, yeah.
So good. And
it was the move,
dude. I put a little sauerkraut on that thing. I put everything, except I'm not a big raw onion guy, so that's the only thing I don't put on that stuff. But God damn, it was the same bun too. So it was,
yeah.
It was good, man. And I think that's my move from now on. We'll see.
That's the move. It was for sure the move this weekend. The only thing is, like, I mean, I guess it's not really that different, but when it's as hot out as it was, for some reason, like a sausage feels more like a dog. I don't think it is. Like, it's a little bigger, but it feels like
a little bigger.
But
I hear you. I mean, you can't eat two sausages, but
yeah, which I tried to do.
Right. No, there was a lot of food that weekend.
Yeah. It was funny though.
It feels like forever ago. Honestly,
it really does. Yeah. The halfway house though was kind of like a safe haven, dude. Cause we were dying. Like it got hot. So that was a big, like, Gatorade. Like, it was Gatorade and waters there.
Every
it was just like hydrate yeah. every turn. Cause we were just dying.
Which we can get into this next. The on Friday night, I think I might have got dehydrated. because apparently on the course, my eye had drooped before, and you were kind of worried. Didn't really tell me, because if I was having a stroke, it'd be a nice place to die, I guess. But I get out of the shower and I'm ready to go on our walk and go. We'll talk about Red One.
Yep.
But I get out of the shower and I can't move my right eye, and it's halfway shut. And here I'm first of all thinking, I'm like, okay, well, between the vitamins and the beers and the lack of water and everything, I was like, maybe I just can't open my eye. But so then I go start looking stuff up. Am I having a stroke? Am I doing this?
Oh my God.
Turns out, you were very encouraging there too. And you're just like, nah, you're fine. Like, everything will be fine. It's just, it's just a lazy eye.
The funniest part about this whole thing was it started while we were playing golf, because Pinckney had somehow, I think everyone noticed it but me. Yeah. And so then when you came out of the shower, and looked at me with fucking crazy eyes.
I was so nervous.
I was like, what is going on right now? Yeah. Like, I was so like, it was so confused because one eye was just not moving and then the other eye was moving. It was
and that's
so
the thing,
trippy.
That's the thing that was scaring me is because I was trying to move it and I couldn't open it.
Yeah.
So that's what was really making me upset. But
and low key, I was like kind of worried too. I was like, oh, yeah. Dude, you'll be fine. But then I kind of sighed, like Googled it too, and then saw that it was probably just like nerve related. I was like, whew.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't want to have to, I mean.
Pitocin or something. But like,
yeah, yeah.
Also it said that, you know, you have to be like 70 years old for that to happen. So,
yeah.
Weird thing. I had a headache until yesterday. I'm starting to feel fine now, yeah, but
that was dehydration.
I literally drank a gallon and a half with a Gatorade on Monday, did the same thing on Tuesday, and I had a gallon of water today too. And I'm just starting to feel
just getting
my pee's still yellow. I'm technically still dehydrated, I think, but I don't understand. But yeah, that was wild on Friday. Let's get into our golf games. What did you do?
Yeah.
How do you think you played?
Well,
I mean, you played really well.
I think we talk about it as a team. So,
So as a team,
pretty disappointing.
Very disappointing, actually.
Friday, there's two events, Saturday, two events. So there's like an opportunity for four events.
There's four events that we could
be placed in one event.
We got third in the scramble on Saturday, and then you got it closest to the pin,
which was 18 feet, it
was like 6 or 7 feet, but
no,
still.
No, dude.
Really?
It was 18.8.
Did
and
you just
no one
write 6 feet?
No. Oh shit. Is that what they say? It said won it. Cause I do have bad hit. I do have bad penmanship.
Cause that's what Lund said. I thought he said, I mean, Jesus, everything was moving so fast. That's the thing I don't like about Shawnee is there's no time to like, there's no downtime because you just want to do everything. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It feels like it's funny because like that's the type of tournament where the moments where you get a chance to like lay down and put your feet up are like gold.
Yeah.
But you feel like that FOMO and like that fear that something else is going on. You just sit there and you sink into your pillow and you're just like weighing like, is it worth getting up right now to go outside, like to go for a walk or to go get beers or go do something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just like, it's funny because it does move so fast. We placed third in scramble. We shot 9 under. We were 10 under going into fucking 18 and we make a bogey. Disgusting.
It was disgusting.
And then
gross actually,
but we had that and the closest to the pin money paid for our Giuseppe's, which was an experience. But yeah, as a team, so what pink we need to actually figure this out. Maybe we need to call that something, like if somebody ever, so Pinkney shot 96 96 96, which needs to be something. That's like, I'm trying to think.
I mean, that's, it's the Pinkney.
It's the pink. Oh, is it the Pinkney?
It's the Pinkney,
the 96er.
There's only one way.
That's hilarious. Just just the mark of consistency. And then Lun, I think, was like mid 90s both days and then just said, I'm out Sunday.
Yeah, I think he played three holes. He got out and was just like, yeah, I'm not helping you guys out. I'm done.
Back's not working today.
Which sucks. I mean, I feel bad for him, but.
Yeah. But. Yeah, and then our game. So, Friday? Friday was a little bit of. I'll speak for myself, but a little bit of like that front nine was. The anticipation was like so high. It was almost like kind of hard to settle into it. You know what I mean? Like yeah. I was way too amped up. We both got up, piped our first drives. Like. Yeah. It was,
and then that older guy asked, he's like, are you the lefties lounge?
Yeah,
like, damn right I am. I just piped one down the middle. Are you fucking right? Let's go.
The best was I heard him after like explaining it to somebody else, and he's like, yeah, they're two lefties that go around to different courses, and then they he's like, they just interviewed the like at the courses, like right there at the courses. They just talk about like their rounds and everything. And I was like, man, it'd be so sick if we did that.
I know. That's kind of what we're striving for. But,
yeah, so he's already just, forecasting what we're going to be doing. Yeah. Oh yeah, let's apologize for that too.
Yes.
Holy God. I have two that apologies. Audio was brutal. I'm sorry.
We're super sorry.
I was feeling
we got
it.
Like half hour, 40 minutes in, and the claws were already starting, and it just we wanted to get something out for the guys riding up. We had said that we were doing that, and we didn't realize that nobody could hear me. So that was and there was just two sides of it. You were just deftly
screaming into the mic.
Into the mic. And then when I'm making my point, you can hear it. It's like it would be like me talking way back here.
Just a mouse in the background.
Just horrible. Absolutely horrible. So we apologize for that. And also I want to apologize to this is my second apology, public apology to Tommy Scazzafava, because I forgot to wear that stupid hat.
Oh yeah, dude.
So there's going to, I will pay up my dues. I'm going to find one, I think.
Which, by the way,
after seeing your hair for 3 days, I'm not going to wear your hat. I'm just going to wear
it. Yeah. You don't want to put it on and then start
just sweating.
Just start magically just sprouting hair.
Yeah. I don't want to grow. I don't want to have your hair.
Well, here's the thing too. I think that we are a podcast that obviously pays its debts, but if you think about our first bet with Jordan from FN3P, the shotgunning on the first tee, we actually just paid that bet at Shawnee. So that was about a year and a half later. Yeah, I actually have a video of it.
Okay, so we have to send that
it was Pinky gave the video though, which so it's one of the worst all-time videos. he zooms in on the hole because it's red one, which will go into the game, and he just never makes his way to zooming all the way back out to actually get both of us in it. So he's going back and forth with the camera from me to you as we're shotgunning it.
That's great. Which the hilarious. Shotgunning thing that was interesting and new.
Dude,
it was kind of nice because like
it was so cold.
It was so cold, and then like you shotgun the beer, and then you don't have to worry about drinking for a couple holes,
right?
And then like the next, you know, you just get all the drinking out of the way, and then it's not shaken up in the
cart. I weirdly enjoyed it.
Spilled all over the place. It was delightful.
It was delightful.
Yeah.
I will say too, Friday or Thursday night. Dude, I was like Friday morning, I was kind of hurting. That was the first time I'd ever been hurting from,
I know, and
from our first FTF. It was just claws.
It was just claws.
Moving granddaddy perp.
grandpappy. That's what it should be called, grandpappy perp.
Grandpappy, that's hilarious. All right, so yeah, so Friday we jump into it. Obviously, like weather's perfect.
We had a hard
hype
time
was like
in.
Too real. Yeah, it was like. Just sloppy bogeys.
We had a little time. It was nice. We went up early. We had time. We didn't get into our room.
No, we didn't get.
Yeah, we didn't get into our room, but we changed. We had time to hit the range, which was nice.
Yeah, we had a nice little range.
I felt good on the range, and then it was like, oh boy, let's go. And dude, I could not have any sort of tempo.
Yeah.
Pretty much the whole freaking weekend. And it was so frustrating. I just kept dead shank pulling the ball.
Not shank, but just pulling.
It was a dead pull.
Dead pull.
And it was so frustrating because I was hitting the ball. I was making contact really well all the time, but it just was going 30 yards to the right of anywhere I was aiming.
Yeah.
So that it made golf very difficult.
Super consistent though. And
yeah.
And
I should have just started trusting it, honestly.
Dude, I swear it was like watching a video of myself play like a year and a half ago. Do you remember when I like that?
That miss
has been like, it's so funny seeing you now have it. Cause it's like, it's just such a common like miss for, especially with the swing changes that we're kind of going through.
Yeah. I'm hitting where you were a couple years ago. So
dude, it's that exact, like you were hitting your spots as far as like yardage every time. It was just 15 yards, right? 15 yards, right? 15 yards, right? Yeah, I think tempo was like really like the name of the weekend or the theme of the weekend. For me, it was my problem is right now with the shafts that I have, I'm really trying to like slow down and like real like I've been very quick when I try to swing at least full 95 to 100%, I'm swinging very hard, and so I've really been trying to slow down. Specifically because I don't have shafts that can handle that speed. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of reached this weekend was like very frustrating in the sense that I got a little back to my bad habits of getting a little too slow. So my yardages were just off and I hit three greens Friday.
Yeah, that was rough. Sick.
I just could not hit a green. I was hitting the ball well. I feel like I wasn't hitting it like sideways, but I was just either short or long, short or long, short or long. So that was fun. But man, driver was a theme this weekend.
Your driver was silly.
Yeah.
Like silly, silly good.
Completely out of left field. So what'd we go?
I mean, it was super far and just it was just that high fade every single time.
Yeah.
Until you started getting wild and started drawing that ball too.
The old draw thought.
The old draw thought that just was a pull right over the, I mean, just incredible.
Right over the trees.
It was incredible.
It was weird. So as far as the driver goes, if this makes sense, I hit it probably the best I've hit it. And I wish that I kind of knew what I was doing, if that makes sense. Like that's the one thing that like my biggest takeaway from this weekend is like when I look back at those three rounds and I think of like strengths was driver and putting. And I can't really like, I don't have a recall or a feeling of like why the driver was really working. Like I legit think it was close eyes and swing.
No idea, but it was,
so I don't,
you better find it.
I know.
You played today. Was it the same or?
Dude, the place I played today was, I have pictures too. Nate actually took some awesome pictures.
Yeah.
It was so tight. Like I can't, like, oh, I dude, know
why
I always,
you guys play those courses?
We don't know. Like we never know. It was so, the easiest way to explain it is from I played from the tips today, which not the, whatever, the farthest back, the blacks or whatever, the championship tees. There was, it's only 6,400 yards, 6,300 yards. I'm an 8.4 right now. My course handicap there was a 12.
Jeez.
So it was just like, it was a bear. But driver was kind of on again, dude. Like just weird. I had a couple holes that I lost it, but that easy to do there.
Damn.
But yeah, I think, yeah. So opened up, we did not open up well. I think I opened up with, I think it was like 43. I think we were like 43, 42, 44, 42. Not a great start. I finished like double.
Yeah.
I think I had a double on the front. But yeah, bounce back. I think shot 37 on the back. I think I went 43, 30. What did I know? I shot 81. So 43. Yeah. 43, 37. Is that math? Okay. Yeah, that is. No, it's not.
43,
44, 37.
Yeah.
81 sense. 81 Friday, but very happy with how I played. What'd you finish Friday?
Friday I was at 83. I believe I went 41, 42, something like that.
41, 42. Yeah.
42, 41 42, or something like that. No, was it 43, 39? I feel like I got into 39.
Oh, no, you were. Yeah.
That was it was 43. Yeah. 43,
that's right. 39. That's right.
Yeah.
Which that's big, dude. Shawnee. Break.
Oh yeah, that was a first. That was a first, for sure.
But I don't. Yeah, then going into Saturday, I mean, we might as well just talk about like our rounds.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll just say this: I was thinking about it a bunch on the ride home. That took 7 hours because everybody's back to traveling. Jeez. Now, and real life is back. The summer traffic was absurd. I think the reason that I like Shawnee so, I think one of the reasons that like I love Shawnee so much as far as like a track, like a golf course or like whatever combined nine holes that you get that day, is that there is no stretch of golf on those 27 holes where it's like the same thing over and over. Like the most you're going to get is like three par fours in a row. There's so much variety there. Like you're always going from a par three to a par five to four, four to a three, three to a five, three to five, you know, like white goes 5-3, 5-3, five. So it's like, that is one of my favorite parts about Shawnee as far as like just the golf experience.
And we got to play white a lot. So we got to see that 5-3, 5-3, five. Like it's, I was trying to, what did we say it was? I can't remember exactly what it was. about that. I don't know. It was definitely a tough start. That's for sure. I liked it better when we went red, white.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It is. It's red is the easiest. I think red's by far the easiest.
Red, but like you said, like in the bonus one, it's kind of like a nice handshake opener.
Yeah.
Kind of easy par four and then a nice par three.
Yeah.
We actually had that really cool game.
Red one.
Yeah. Red one.
Should we get into that? And then we'll finish our games, then we'll get into that.
Well, let's say hi to Frankie first off.
What's up, guys?
Welcome.
Dude, thanks for coming in, man. You got power back.
Yeah.
ACs are back on.
Yes. Yeah. Thankfully, thankfully it wasn't a crazy amount of time, but
yeah,
the heat surge, man. It got us.
My gosh. Well, glad to have you in.
It's good to be here.
Jeez. I feel like we haven't seen you in forever because we went away for 3 days and then just had to take 7 days off because it was.
Yeah. What's going on with that? You guys like super hangover vibes or what's going on?
It was just a big weekend.
I saw you're having a little trouble, Ronnie, with something going on.
You talking about my back?
Just in life, it seemed like you were struggling a little bit.
Or your eye.
Yeah, I was struggling with everything. You're going to have to listen to the first half, but I had a whole eye issue and I thought I was having a stroke. Nobody told me. And,
he's still dehydrated to this moment.
I've had a headache for days now and I've
drinking. You just can't handle it anymore.
I'm just old. I'm just an old man and I can't handle it anymore. we're just getting in. We're just doing our Shawnee recap. We're almost getting through and then we'll get into some other stuff, see if you played golf and go from there.
Yeah. Well, don't let me interrupt. Continue on. I'll just sit here and drink some wine while you guys do this.
That's what I'm talking about. We didn't win anything. Our games were okay. You shot the 78, which was sick.
I saw it. Yeah. I saw Kravitz, your cap continues to go down.
It was a very successful
weekend. Debilitate.
Let's talk about words. Actually, let's do that.
Yeah. Oh no!
First, the word of the weekend was ineligible. It wasn't even the pro because I've seen the pro on the Instagram. It was like the pro's third hand man. It was almost like they did I'm not gonna say that's so bad. I was gonna say they had like a special program where they come in for the weekend.
Can I tell this story?
Yes, please.
Okay. So this third hand man, right? He's in charge of stuff. He's not the pro. He's probably the assistant.
Stuff.
He just does a bunch of stuff with the tournaments. So we're all gathered there Friday. Everybody's hype. We're just taking a picture, and he took the picture. We're all, we said go Vikings and all that stuff for Mr. Pinckney and all that stuff. And then this guy starts explaining all the rules, right? and he goes, and you know, you write in your scorecard, give me your gross score, what you actually got on the score or on the hole. And if it's not ineligible, I'm just going to give you a double bogey. And we're all looking at each other. We're like, what the
ineligible?
You know, is this
ineligible? We found out he's trying to say legible.
He said it
like three times. He goes, I'm not going to say it again. If it's ineligible, I'm just giving you a double bogey. And we're all just like, okay, buddy.
Yo, I straight up laughed out loud when it was quiet, and he definitely heard it because he gave like a stank eye to our side of the picture after he was done saying it.
Oh my God.
And I was crying.
It was so funny. So that way we said that the whole time, like, you got it in the hole
too much, probably.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. And then the whole debilitating.
Yeah. We actually had this conversation again.
Did you? And you told her that it was wrong?
Yeah.
Julia said that that Kravitz handicap was debilitating, but meaning it keeps going down.
Yeah, that's not.
But that doesn't work.
Not a proper use.
It's ineligible.
Yeah, very ineligible. Exactly. But yeah, dropped another half point. Went 81, 78, 81. I will say that looking back at thinking back at the weekend, I was a little upset with the fact that I didn't kind of appreciate the 78 a little more, if that makes sense. I definitely caught myself because that was my, I mean, like, you know, we talked about it. I've went 3 years with trying to break 80, then I break 79 last year, and then like 78 this year. Yeah, it sucks that it was a 78 that I think I was
72.
Like, I was like three over going into like 15 or whatever.
Yeah, bad finish.
That was one where like I never was like happy about it. And at the end of the weekend on the ride home, I was like, man, I should probably have been like way happier about
that. Yeah, pumped about that. Yeah, 78, 81. Wait, 81, 78, 81. That's what you said?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fucking great weekend.
Yeah. I had nothing more. The biggest thing that I had nothing more than a double. That was the biggest thing.
So no big numbers.
No real big numbers.
No big numbers.
But yeah, nice. I was like, I don't, cause I really don't like, it was scary in the sense of like, I don't want to just chase scores. Like that was, you know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't matter that much, especially at Shawnee. I think it was like, you were saying everything's moving so fast there. Like, you know, you shoot 78 and then you're just like, you know, whatever, you know,
yeah, you go right into the scramble.
You're just going to the next thing. Yeah.
And you personally were thinking like, damn, that was such a bad three holes. Like, wish it went double the last two, you know, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
All
right, let's get into red one though. Unless you want to finish. Yeah.
I just want to say that I dropped a point too. I'm 11.5 now and not 11.6.
Wow. So what were your 80?
I went 83, 87, 86.
Okay.
So I was dealing with a hard pull. All weekend, man. Ooh. I had no tempo, no nothing. Sunday was kind of okay, but then I showed signs of just great consistency and just pulled it every once in a while.
But it was really hard. Nice.
It was really, really hard to figure out. But the biggest thing that I did well, and it's a reoccurring thing.
Let me guess.
Go ahead.
Putting.
Yo, it was
guess.
That, I'm not kidding. I think both of us had less than 30 putts on Friday. It was absolutely ridiculous. It was legit ridiculous.
You couldn't put the ball far enough away. Like, dude, couple just bombs. And just if we were 8 feet, it was going in.
It was
like a tap in. It's like, why even make me putt this? Like, it's going in. God. Like, that's how good it was, dude. I'm telling you. And the whole weekend, it was just good. I had one bad putt that I can remember. That's it. Wow. In the whole 90 holes. Like, seriously, I'm not even joking. One bad putt. Everything else was around the hole or two putts. I think I only had one 3-putt the whole time.
Yeah. And I think the only couple 3-putts were like those crazy pins where like you, if you're not below the hole and you're coming in from the side, you're throwing it 4 feet up the hill and letting it slide down. And it was just like, there were some tough pins. Right. But all right. So putting. So now I think we get into red one.
Let's get into red one and then we'll move on. I think we've
all right. So we created the greatest putting game of all time that may have already been created, but not really, but it's the greatest putting game of all time.
Okay, cool.
So what we do is kind of picture this. So the
Friday night.
Friday night. So yeah, first night
vibes.
Clubhouse is, you know, super old, but it kind of sits on one part of the property, and then you pretty much walk a full hole away from it. So not too far, but you're away far enough where like you're in the pitch black. Like we go to the first green. Red one is the course hole that's right outside you know, the front or the clubhouse and the pro shop side.
Yep.
So we get to the green. This has kind of been tradition. We, you know, we go for a little walk. We, you know, we swap
pleasantries.
What are the old Indian stories? What was
that? No idea.
War story? Yeah.
I was trying to think of like, there was a Shawnee. I was trying to make a very, very retro, forget it.
That hit pretty hard, actually.
We'll move on that one. That slapped.
So we go stories. You're telling stories.
Yeah.
Sharing memories. I got you.
That's it. And we get out to the first green. Now we brought Ronnie brings this 1950s ping, the original ping putter, which I think we teased on the pod. But that's all. So all we have is that putter and two balls. So we just go out. No pin or anything. We find the cup.
Which took a little while to find.
Take a little while. And at first we threw a phone in there with like the light on.
Oh yeah.
And it was like spraying up from the cup. Yeah. We kind of just toss balls down and we're just like, you know, let's just putt a little bit, passing some stuff around. And then finally we were just like, I forget even how it came up. I think I was just thinking about knockout. I was thinking about like a game that we could play, and I was thinking about knockout, like basketball knockout. So the way that the game is played is this, the easiest way to explain it is
super simple.
Think of like six people. Think of you're playing, think of the game, like the basketball game knockout.
Yep.
Think of knockout now though, with no speed. So the first person gets, so say six people in a row, the first person gets a putt. So the first putt is, we'll say the first person in line is kind of the person with the most power because they set where the putt is going.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that means say they set a 5-footer directly below the hole, they would put it down. There's then three rounds are played from that position that the first person put the ball down, and then it's normal knockout. So first person goes, gets a putt. There's no timing. That's why I was saying there's no like,
right.
So they make their stroke, then person two goes, makes their stroke. If, you know, obviously same, you know, rules apply as knockout. If you make it, you're either safe or you knock someone out.
Do you get a second putt? Like, so if I putt and I miss, right?
Yeah.
And then you're behind me, Kraftic, and you putt and you miss, then I can tap in.
No. It's only one shot.
It's one putt.
Great question. Yep. It's just one putt. The only way that you can either be safe or be out is if
make it
or get someone out is from making a putt.
Yep.
So you go around six times. That consists of one round. Every time you make a loop, there's one round. The person who is in front, the person in back of the line, like number six, has a chance to knock number one out so that it's fair. So everybody, right. It doesn't really matter what order you're in. You owe every single round. You have a chance to either make your become safe by making the putt or knock somebody out.
Yeah, you said that backwards though. Number one, the person who at number one gets a chance to knock number six.
Out.
Oh, sorry, backwards. Opposite.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I got that. Yeah.
So then, if you get knocked out, say you get knocked out in the first round, you can get back into the game if the game's still going. You have to wait three rounds, and then on that third round, if there's still people available, you can make whatever putt is there, and if you make the putt, you can get back in.
Back in. Okay.
And then every three rounds, the ball moves around the cup. So
every three rounds?
Every three rounds. Yep.
Yep.
And a round is just a full completion. So
of however many players you have.
How do you decide who goes first?
So that has to be random. And then for the first one, it's random. Like you just do pick numbers. But after that, whoever wins decides the order.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And nice. They decide the full order. Like who goes
first. So strategically, that's completely strategic.
Yep. Yeah.
So one time I got to pick. And I picked Pinckney to go first. And then he goes, okay, well, then who's going second? I was like, me.
There was some
serious trash talking. Dan Lenore, fucking, he goes up for a putt. And I was just like, because I was before him. I'm like, there is no fucking chance you're making this. And he gets up there. He like looks at me and he gets down there and he's so serious and he freaking drains it. Everybody goes crazy. But like, two people were all holding phones.
Yes, that's so.
It was so electric.
Miss a putt, once you putt, if you miss the putt, you go immediately to holding the phone up.
Right, you're becoming on the hole. Yeah,
it's phone. Totally crappy.
like every good game that is created, it took us a while to realize that the game's really not that fun unless the putts are within 10 feet because nobody was making shit it. For the first 30 minutes, dude.
Right,
it's hilarious. There were like five made.
Well, that just and we're all you, using like, the percentages, right? Like it's like well,
that
like,
too.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, you're not going to make a ton of 12 footers, you know?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
we're using the like the OG ping.
Yeah,
the reversible. Right, right. Like reversible, there was lefties and righties. It was wild, but what a great game. We actually started playing it during the day too, because like it was so slow out there. So
we were
waiting and shit. So. When we would get to a green, we would just keep it in our head, and we every green was around, so we would just go through and like the last pot or something, like we would just pick a pot or whoever had like a pot, we would just do that. So it was it got pretty cool, and unfortunately we didn't get to play it Saturday night.
We didn't make it.
There was
everyone
just
passed out.
Giuseppe's.
I ate damn near half a pizza with some.
Oh, that's
really
right.
Good
the pizza.
Oh, Frank, it was so
good. How good was it?
You know, there was some shit talking by some other people, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was
as you should.
Yeah. It was It was really good.
We got lucky. Our experience was 10 times better because we ordered and got there, and the second group that came with us ordered and got there probably like 5 minutes after us. And ours was actually like cooked through and like done and ready to go, like when we showed up, and theirs was just going in the oven. Mm. So they kind of got a rush za, and it sounded like it was a it wasn't great. So,
but damn, those wings too.
I'll say
the wings.
A month not eating pizza. Honestly, you can put anything in front of me that looks like pizza, and like
it's not about the quality.
Yeah, exactly. At that point,
it's not about the quality.
Yeah.
If here it goes back to, you know, if I ate pizza like 2 weeks ago, I probably would have been like, yeah, just steps isn't that good.
So, yeah, yeah.
So, I guess the moral of the story is just check yourself. You know.
Did you
earn the za? That's the question.
So, and you did.
I did, and I had a great time. We sat underneath the tent. We ate so much of it.
And you will be going back to Shawnee next year because you made your way to the brewery.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You made it to the brewery?
You made it to the brewery.
Frank, it was the best. The whole weekend was just so good.
I saw that you guys were at some sort of turn or like between rounds, were you guys at the brewery?
Exactly. We had they said that we had like an hour before we teed off for the scramble. So we went over to the truck and we're, you know, hanging out, doing our thing. And I was like, man, we should just go grab a beer. And Graphic's like, yeah, let's go do it. So then a beer, you know, we get in there and it was such a cool vibe. Like it was such a cool vibe. And he's just like, dude, you want to just get a flight? And I was let's go.
We walked in, I saw the board and I was like, no chance I'm choosing a beer right now. So I was like, exactly. Hey, can we do a flight?
And we're sitting there and John orders a pretzel because they had delicious looking pretzels there. And then she goes, oh, we have some with everything seasoning on it too. Oh, we're like, yeah.
Come get some.
So she comes back with one. I was like, yeah, can I get one of those too?
I thought it was for the both of us.
So we were trying to split one and I just get another one. So then we get a call and we're just enjoying ourselves. We're just having a good time drinking the beer, which was so good.
And
enjoying the pretzel with the mustard. And we're just having a good time. And then we get a text, yo, we're on deck. And we're like, what? And we look at the phone and we were in there for like 40 minutes. Just chilling.
I can tell you guys, like, I just picture you guys, like, just like both of like smiles, like ear to ear, like happy, like just played 18 holes, like ready to play another, but just like drinking beers, eating pretzels. Like,
great. Yeah. We packaged up. I mean, we walked over there. We strolled over there. John had to go up to the room for a second. I packed our Coors Lattes. And we were off.
Well, that was the day. Saturday was just a straight business trip, and we didn't drink the whole morning.
Yeah.
So
the whole basketball.
And we were like, we're gonna be good once the scramble turns on. We're gonna
scramble. We'll get some loose beers.
Yeah.
And we had that flight, and then the next
which
thing
was
I know,
like five IPAs.
We're just shotgunning.
Yeah. Next, Ronnie knows he wakes up Sunday morning.
Next thing I know, my eye is drooping again, and we're adding to Sunday.
Dude, that was when we actually got the video that we got called the Red One, and then we shotgunned the one on Red One. That was the video that Pigby took.
Yep, that was it.
That is funny.
Well, geez, I'm sure there's a bunch of other stuff that we could do, but I don't even know where we're at in the whole.
I gotta give
scheme of things, but.
Yeah, do you have anything else? Anything else on your rounds?
Not on my rounds, other than I putt well. And
putting was silly.
Know, I kept everything in play. I only lost two balls the whole weekend, which is nice.
Very impressive.
Yes.
Yeah. That's with the right pull that I was dealing with, pretty impressive that I only lost two.
Yeah.
That, you know, we're not sponsored by these guys, but Titleist One, the Pro V1s don't stand up to anything.
No,
they just get scuffed up. I mean, they're not a weekend ball. They're just a one.
Things.
Yeah, it was wild. But yeah, I got nothing else really.
Well, I will give a shout out. Got to give Lenore a shout out. He had his career low. He opened up. So it was great. I was actually
career low at Shawnee or like career low.
I want to say his not his career low, not his career low. Okay. His career low at Shawnee by two.
Nice.
But I want to. I believe it might have been his nine low.
There you go. Shot,
so 39. He opened up Saturday, with a 39. I hope I am doing this justice, but I know he kind of went on a roller coaster of scores. I don't know what he shot Friday. I think it was very high because I remember seeing him Friday and I think he was trying to find it. Then he goes out, shoots a number. We'll talk about that. And then I think on Sunday he shot like 107. But the good stuff.
He shot like a 57 on the front.
On the front or something. He was like he was hilarious.
Well, 39, 57 or something. Like that is a wide range, but that's 39. I mean, 39 for anybody. That's fucking sick.
39 to 39, man.
So he sent me. So I had him send me. I was like, give me like a quick rundown of like your round. I want to highlight it. So he sent me like a big notes app thing of like the whole breakdown, which is just so amazing reading, especially like right after playing that course. And like, we all, that's what's cool is like, we're all at the point now where like, we really all know the holes so well that it's like, you're just like, oh yeah, I hit this ball on white five. I hit this on like this. Like, so it's like very,
I'm so close.
I'm there now. I'm finally there now where I really feel like I know it all now.
One or two more years, I'm going to get it because
you're at that point. You're going to start to like really see it.
Oh yeah.
But he went, he started off bogey, bogey, bogey. It's funny. He actually white four, your favorite hole. He natural birdie there.
Pretty
dirty. Cause that pin was in an accessible place for that green, but still the front of that green is kind of gnarly.
It's tough. It's tough hole. Playing tough.
And then he made the big move, which is the dropping the back foot back just massively. And this is funny
to try and draw the ball.
Which is really like, you know how we always talk about that back elbow, like creating space for that elbow. Like that's all it's doing is that he was just coming over the top of it. And now he was just trying to like, so he opened his stance wide open and just started mashing the ball.
That's awesome.
Interesting.
Yeah. Which, it was like, it's like, and he used it before. He was actually saying like, he did it a year ago and he remembered like doing it and like kind of went back to that. So comes out, shoots, I think he made two birdies on that side, shoots 39 to open. And we saw him as he was turning at the 39. And when he told me the 39, I was so nervous for him. Cause I was like, I know that this next nine, there's going to be a point. It's either going to be right away or it's going to be at the end where he's just going to be like buzzing, like just pressing, like so nervous.
Yeah.
And he opened the back on blue. Lost balls on both hole, makes triple to start. But then dude settled down. He shotgunned a beer, which was a theme this weekend.
Yeah. Shotgunned a beer. Never really a theme.
Shotgunned a beer. No, it's not. Shotgunned a beer made four straight pars after starting triple.
That's it, folks. Nice. If you shotgun beers, you will par four in a row. That's just what it is.
He had, but what was really, really impressive is that to finish was blue nine. So this dirty uphill par three that was playing like 215. And actually
a long 215.
Very long. And that was a hole that was kind of on my mind a lot because we finished with both those rounds too. And I was telling you before when I was kind of putting a number together, I was like, man, this finishing stretch is no joke. Like the 215 yard par three with two massive bunkers, like protecting it on the right, left and right
and left
and dude he hit Justin's hybrid and hit it to the middle of the green, let it fall down and made got
whoa,
out of there.
Whoa, he hit not his own club. That seems like
we got called for Greg Kopp tried to call us for a technicality in a little scramble.
So Lenore can shoot that in the real tournament, but extra holes, you can't use my hybrid that we didn't even use your ball at?
Yeah.
Interesting play here, folks. So this is funny. Interesting.
But no, made par there and shot 86. So shout good out, Lenore. Him. Dude, 86 is very asterisk. Good. So he went 80. Yeah, 86 asterisk. And then I think he followed it up with that 104, 107. So. Which was hilarious, but he enjoyed himself. And we beat them. We played them in a four v4 scramble after we did like extra holes. So what did we play Saturday? We played 36 holes plus 36 seven.
36 and then plus seven.
Yeah. So we played 43 holes. The last seven were match play, scramble against another, that other Lenore's group, yes, the other foursome, yeah, which was actually a pretty good match.
We
went up hole. We went up one after two, and then they got one back before the we played. So we, it was supposed to be just four holes. So we went up one after two. They got one on three to tie it. Mm-hmm. We parred four, and then we played, what, three playoff holes?
Yeah, the old man just kept not letting us go, and we just went.
Yeah, the Ranger did not like it.
He did not. You guys don't listen, do you?
Yeah.
Well, nope.
You're just not hearing us. We're playing.
He goes, if you heard every time I've heard the excuse, we're tied right now. It was hilarious. It was
super funny.
Shawnee, success.
Shawnee, it was a success.
We got a shout out. Fucking absolutely hilarious. Pinckney and Lund wore like authentic U-Haul moving shirts. Like they, like we were supposed to wear them as a team, but Ronnie's biceps were too big. Legit Saturday, they wore moving day U-Haul, like blue moving day shirts.
Yeah, I have the shirt, but
yeah, we do actually. Which
that's hilarious. That's good.
Be just too big.
Yeah, you've been working on this.
Yeah.
No crazy outfits though. We had 2 years ago. We had the dudes wearing the kilts, but nothing that wild.
Crazy. No. All the purple was nice Friday. That was cool.
A lot of deer, a lot of nature.
Yeah.
That's what I should say. That's what we got to say is,
The deer's driving up too. Jesus.
Yo, Shawnee was buzzing. Like that place was so packed.
We see two weddings.
It was full. That parking lot was full. I'd never seen it like that.
It was incredible.
So good to see. Good for them. And that was like the nicest I'd seen the property too. Those greens were unbelievable.
Everything looked so good. Shout out to Shawnee. Shout out to Kevin for running that thing year in and year out. It's just so much fun coordinating all that stuff. The dinner was good when we ate it on Friday.
Lund's dessert plate.
The breakfast buffet was so good. Like so good.
Yeah, you mashed that.
Dude, I can hammer a breakfast buffet. Breakfast is my favorite meal of the day. I usually don't eat breakfast unless there's a buffet. And it was amazing. There was make your own waffles. There was pancakes on Saturday morning. Sunday morning, there was French toast and with brown sugar and cinnamon and like anything you could, any toppings besides powdered sugar that you wanted, because that's what I was looking for. French toast, a little powdered sugar is the way to eat French toast. It was just incredible. They had there had to be 37 pounds of bacon in this one thing and all crisped up. They had sausage links. They had fruit and yogurt and granola and just anything that you can think of, Frank, that is breakfast related. It was there. It was incredible.
I'm excited for you.
I just went on a little tangent on that.
I love how at one point you were like,
I learned two very big things this weekend. I'm a big breakfast buffet guy. Okay.
Yeah.
And I am turning into a huge big river guy. Like I am just so intrigued by rivers. Like looking
why,
at the,
why is that?
It, dude, just the,
the landscape of
the,
it,
the whole thing of it. Like, it's just like seeing the people go down the river and like, it's just so big and like, it goes so far, dude. It's just a wild, I started thinking about it and like, I just,
and it connects to crazy. Yeah, we're working, you know what it was?
It's a passageway to other bodies of water.
Yeah. It's just wild.
It's literally what it is, right? It connects one body of water to another body.
It's home of the Guinness Book of World Records, 166 shots, which we looked at the woods, by the way, where that shot was. And it looks,
she's incredible. She deserves that.
It's only been 100 years, but it looks impossible. It looks impossible to even think about doing that.
Yeah. Incredible. But anyways, I think you got anything else? Because I think we can. I'm a big river guy. Yeah. Now.
Little river band. No, I'm good.
Okay. So now that Shawnee's over, Frank, how was your weekend?
My weekend was good, man. Had a wedding. I don't know. That was about it. It was a good wedding. It was fun. We had a good time.
You didn't get to play?
I have not played. I have not played since our round, I guess.
Ooh.
So it's been a week.
So Pete was your last swings? Well, maybe not last swings.
Yeah, not last swings, but yeah, last like real, you know, real grind. And last time I played, I think, yeah, it was whatever, two Sundays ago, I guess. But I have a round tomorrow. Tomorrow at Ridgefield. First time at Ridgefield in like feels like a month. So yeah, nice. I'm ready. I'm itching right now. I just need to get out there and play. And Kath, you mentioned before not chasing scores. It's one of those, I think all of us probably feel it now, like with the cap numbers, like trying to get to numbers. Like I feel like that's all I've been doing. I've been trying to get that out of my head so bad. Like don't chase a number, dude. Just fucking go out and play.
Yeah.
You know, play loose and just like, who, you know, I almost don't want to keep, I'm going to keep score, but I also don't want to know. Like, I don't even want to look after nine. Like, I just want to play and just see.
Just keep writing down numbers.
Yeah. And not even think about it. That's, you know, easier said than done, but
of course.
So hopefully I have a good story next week for you guys.
Yeah. Cause I mean, the classic thing with that is like you par the first three holes and now you're numbers. Now you're
exactly
watching.
Exactly.
Like it happens real quick. So
the worst.
So what do you want to touch on the women's, the KPMG real quick? Nelly Korda won. She's now number one in the world. She is, I believe there's one stat about she's the first person to U.S. person to win a major since 2014.
Yeah,
since
2018. It's first, 3 years. It's been
first U.S. player to be number one in the world since 2014. Stacey Lewis.
Okay. Yes.
I actually watched a decent amount of this.
Yeah.
And dude, like I don't watch a ton of LPGA stuff, but the Nelly Korda is so wildly impressive to watch. She is like, again, not being kind of a fan from far away of the LPGA, like not zoned in all the time. She's super talented. Like she's
9 strokes ahead of third place.
Yeah. 9 strokes. And the second place, what was her name? Salas. I should probably know this. Yeah. That right.
Makes, yeah. Yep.
Wildly different games. Like she hits it like 220.
Yeah,
and Korda,
completely different.
And Korda hits it like 260, bombing it right, and she's hitting like legit 3 woods into greens, and you know it's a very different. It's more relatable, I guess, to watch for sure. And we talked about that before. How much it's more like if you're an amateur like regular day golfer, watching the women's tour is much more relatable than the men's tour. But at the same time, it's still not because they're so goddamn good. So yeah, it's just, like, and she was so second place was six shots clear at third place, right. Like
which is only that,
yeah, yeah,
two horse race,
yeah, no, really cool though. For yeah, like we said, first person since 2014 to be number one in the world as a U.S. woman, and yeah, first U.S. woman since 2018, which is wild. I didn't know that stat obviously until they said that, but I think it's good for women's golf in the States. Like they need
it's good. Yeah.
They need someone to kind of take hold of that. Yeah.
Cause it's been we haven't really had anybody, like it's just been all Korea really. Like all Korean players have just been kicking our ass forever. And it's nice to see that we like, especially in an Olympic year, like that's pretty sick. Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sure.
Like we got a shot. I think we got Lexi Thompson, Korda, and somebody, I forget who else, but
the other Korda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is it the other Korda?
I don't know, but she's 13th in the world. So I'd
probably
right there.
Yeah.
Probably. So. But yeah, just super cool to see. And it's, I mean, this was a big win for her too, because I feel like there was a lot of people trying, like waiting for her. I know she's only 22.
Yeah. But
they've been waiting for her to win a major. Like, when's she going to win the major? When's she going to win a major? When's she going to win a major? It's like, she's 22 years old. Granted, the ladies mature a little bit earlier than guys. Like, if you don't have a major by the time you're 18, you're behind the game, which is ridiculous. Yeah, just really cool to see. That also blew my mind that there was another major. What was this, 2 weeks from the U.S. Open?
Yeah. Yeah, close. I think it's 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah. So,
which is crazy. It just seemed really, really quick. Like we had seen it on TV, John, and you're just like, oh, that's a major. I was like,
yeah, I was like,
no,
that's the
way.
KPMG. Yeah.
And I was like, there's no way. That's not, no way. And I kind of paid it no mind. And then Sunday I heard it. I was like, damn, let's go.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys have anything else. I just wanted to touch on that before we get into the, I mean, one of the greatest playoffs to ever live, right, Frank?
Dude. Yeah. Yeah. We can move on.
We didn't get to see it. I was at like a family function, a bunch of cousins that I haven't seen in a while. So, it was a late night. It was just maybe that's why it was such a long weekend. Cause I didn't go to bed until 10:30 after frozen pizza on Sunday, but irrelevant. I didn't get to watch. but I heard that it was amazing. Like,
yeah, crap. You didn't watch either, right?
No, but I will say it was really cool to like see a bunch of footage and like videos and pictures and stuff from like our friends who were there. Like yes, it was. You know, that it, you know, it's so rare. I think it was just like, it was really cool. I'm just glad that, you know, I didn't watch any of it, but I'm just glad that like it seemed like kind of like the Connecticut golf scene showed out a little bit or got chance to like, especially like the fans too, on 18, but got a chance to flex.
Shaw went, I saw your boys from Greenside Golf. They went.
Yeah. Dude, my the kid I played with in the Sunset tournament, Matt, he got a picture with Matt Wolf.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Did Bryson.
Wait, what?
What's his name? Bryson Herr.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yo, yeah. Yes. Yes.
If you're listening right now, Bryson, kudos to you. Cause when I saw your picture with Paulina Gretzky, I damn near shit myself.
You actually did damn near shit yourself because you were like, dude, Bryson. I was like, what? Bryson? And you're like, you remember Bryson? You remember Bryson? I was like, what are you talking about? You're like, look at this picture. Yeah. Look at this picture.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
Oh my God. Shout out to you, man. I mean, that's awesome. And I know he listens frequently. I don't know if he'll listen to this one, but shout out to you, man. That was amazing. I'm sure you're gonna frame it and put like a little lipstick lips on.
Never forget the smell.
Yeah, my question to you is, have you showered yet?
Yeah.
But let's get back to the golf. Frank, you're the one that watched it. What was it like? It seemed like it was cool that it went to eight playoff holes, but the format of it, like they just played 17 and 18 or just 18 a bunch, like
just 17 18, but really just 18.
Yeah.
Which is first, really, if you've been there, it's a super easy hole.
Yeah, so first of all, like Connecticut golf scene, like, dude, they like those fans showed out, like they were so jacked, and that was kind of cool to see. And the fact that the field is what it is now is also,
dude,
really
exactly. Yeah,
and I feel like 5 years ago, I was, you know, it was kind of like you hope to get like a few of the guys in. Now it's literally like everyone plays it
because of hospitality, like, man. It's a good tournament, and they make it really nice.
I think it's also unique too. It's the second shortest course on the tour at 6,900 yards.
Mm-hmm. They love it,
which I think is cool too, but it also shows like the winning score was only 13 under, which like usually I think if you said to someone like, oh, it's like a 6,900 yard course, like you'd be like, oh, they're going to shoot like 20 under.
Right.
So I think like, I mean, we've had, you know, there's been US Opens and majors at 13 under, you know? So it's like,
oh yeah.
Didn't Bryson win the last US Open at 13 under or something?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah, exactly. So
at freaking Wingfoot.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so like, that's why I think that's
think
pretty
about
cool.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's cool. Like at least like the course is difficult. Like it plays hard, you know, it's not like you're not just throwing darts out there left and right. So anyways, yeah. So I tuned in late, like towards the very end of the tournament, and thank God I did, because the end of the last, you know, Harris English hitting a bomb for birdie to go into clubhouse with the lead was wild, even though Harris English is a really kind of boring guy, but still awesome putt. And then Kramer Hickok, who no one's ever heard of in their life, comes out and super drains cool one, man. Too, to force the playoff. And at this point, like, dude, everyone is behind Kramer Hickok. Like, there's not one person out there that wants Harris English to win, which
and
was like,
I heard that everybody was lubed up
Oh, dude, it seemed like there was some, it was a nice and loose crowd for sure.
Yo, so get this too. That was only 10,000 people because not because of like the restrictions or anything, but because the restrictions were lifted so late that the travelers didn't have the infrastructure in place to hold
that many.
That many people. So that was only a quarter of what like it could and like would like or should have been.
Wow.
So which just gives like even yeah, dude, it gives even more credit to like those crowds, like unbelievable.
Yeah. Sure. So first of all, Kramer Hickok, who like, you know, have you guys ever heard of Kramer Hickok before?
Hell no.
He's got Dick Mast energy.
Dude, so I guess he caddied for Spieth at one point.
Oh yeah, I did hear. Yes, yeah.
So they showed it on the.
Yeah, they're like college buddies, right?
Yeah, I think they both went to Texas and like
they work out at Atlas. I think they both have like the same coach.
Yeah, yeah. So like he caddied for him like way back a long time ago. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think it was not on the tour or anything, but like really interesting and so they get in the playoff. And dude, I feel so bad for Kramer Hickok. He came. You guys probably saw highlights, and people listening either watched or saw highlights. Like he missed bombs by like, lipping out two or three times to win it. Like moments that like you don't forget about, you know. And he just came so close and couldn't get it done. And yeah, the format's really strange. Like I think after the second playoff hole, they go to 17. And they play that once, and then they just go back to playing 18 until it's over. Yeah. And 18 is a like it's an easy hole, but where the pin was located, really, it wasn't an easy birdie hole.
No.
So that's what kind of made it not so exciting. Except like I would say though, it was exciting just based off the fact that they just like they kept playing, right? Like and Kramer lipped out like three times. And he also, I think it was like the sixth playoff hole. He had a terrible second shot, left it short left, had like a 40 footer and just blew it by like 20 feet and then hits the comebacker from 20 feet. And like,
thug.
Yeah, dude, it was like, you know, it was one of those moments like, this is over. Like, English has like an 8 footer for birdie, like no way that he probably makes that and it's over. So Kramer has to putt twice in a row and he nails the comebacker from 20 feet and just like, you're just like, holy shit. And then English misses.
Yeah. He made that 8 footer to about 20 feet.
Yeah, exactly. So honestly, it was, the viewing experience was awesome. Like again, yeah, the format could use some work, but like whatever, man, like their play gave enough like suspense that I think the format didn't really matter by the end of it. But the only thing
I wish that happened is because I don't know if you guys have been there, but 15 is one of the most electric holes on that golf course. It's a drivable par four with the whole hole basically leans to the water, that little pond, and that seems like an amazing playoff hole. That's all I have to say about that. After playing 18 a couple of times, I feel like they should have just said, you know what, everybody? And maybe it was because like 18 is such a great, like I was there for Furyk's 58 and being in that like amphitheater kind of like bowl is just absolutely electric.
Well, I think the biggest problem with that is like you have all these fans around 18.
Right. And that's what I'm, yeah.
How are you going to get them to 15? You know,
exactly.
Like,
so, and that's the thing. There's no real place to like watch except for like the other side of the pond or like the tee box. So that's probably why. But
so, yeah,
it would be an absolutely great, great hole.
Yeah. Dude, it was great though. It held up, man. It was an awesome, I mean, eight playoff holes is ridiculous. Like, I think it's the second longest in the history of.
Do you know what the longest is?
It's 11.
Yeah.
And I don't know the
1949, the Motor City Open. That's the history. Lloyd Mangrum and Cary Middlecoff were declared co-winners by mutual agreement due to darkness. So like it never even ended and they played 11.
They're just we're good.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Did you guys ever hear that Jim Furyk story? Did I ever tell you guys this? No. I actually made history.
Oh, wait. Okay. Well, we have to tell the Xander story too with Pinckney from this past Thursday too. But go ahead, tell the Furyk one.
Okay. So this has direct correlation with the Travelers. So when I went there, Jim Furyk was way out of the tournament, and we got there early in the morning and we were following him. So you can go down one and then they go two, you can catch them on three and then tee off four. So we're kind of following him around the whole, you know, before he goes out to the rest of the thing. And then we're going to catch him back, whatever. We start seeing that he's going through and birdieing and just keeps birdieing and birdieing and birdieing. And like, now we're like watching, cause the 59 watch is legit. Like the dude could have shot a 57 that day. So long story short, we get to 18. He has his putt for 57. It's like an 18 footer, right? And him and Fluff are reading it. They're doing the whole thing. And we're standing there and I have like a front row seat in this amphitheater. And he putts it and it goes to maybe 1 foot. And like everybody's like real quiet. And I just go, "That's good, Jim." And he, as he's marking his ball, he doesn't look at me, but he points back over to me. And I was just like, "Holy shit." Like Jim Furyk just acknowledged what I said. Like, let's go. So hilarious. I literally made history on that 58. Like
that's sick.
Me right before then. So yeah, that's my claim to fame.
I think
one of my buddies has that video still. So if we do have that, I think I'll send it to you.
Oh yeah. You got to get that up.
We could post that.
Is the video from like next to you? Like,
well, you're not allowed to have video on that. So like, it's like by
it's a sneak camera.
It's a sneaky video.
Yeah.
I was with Rick Harrison. He's 6'9". So I kind of blocked his waist and he held it like low. So it was like, we're getting this. And then you could hear the audio. I'm just like, that's good, Jim.
So that was planned. So that's good. Was the, that's good planned, or you were just planned to say something?
No, it wasn't planned. I just wanted to capture history. So like, came to me like
that's hilarious.
Loosen everybody up. Like, yeah, this is for 58, but also it's a 1 footer. And yeah, I'd give
it. You don't need to mark it, man. Just tap it in.
Just tap it in, bro.
Like, oh my God. That's great.
That was super cool about Travelers. Such a great tournament to go to. If you live in the area, please, like, you have to go. It's such a good tournament. There's so many things to do. I don't know how it was this year, but as far as like with the games and like the swings, and they have like a little umbrella set up so you could hit like chips and stuff, and the Grey Goose tent is always great. So like, if you can get there, go, because it's an experience. So
to kind of piggyback off that story, so Pinckney went Thursday and he was telling us that you know, Thursday there's just not as many people there.
Yeah,
he's following Xander. And they're on a green. He's standing like right next to the edge of the green. And he FaceTimed the other kid in our group, Lund, and it went off.
Now I remember.
And he answered it, and it was Lund screaming like, "Yo, what's up? What are you doing?" And it was when Xander was putting, and I guess Xander missed the putt and like looked up and like rolled his eyes and was like, "Are we like, what the fuck? Like, are we serious right now?" Like, it was like, he said it was extremely loud, which is, if anybody that knows Pinckney, that is right on par.
Yep.
Classy.
Last thing I'll say with Travelers, this is like just a Brooks Bryson watch. Brooks beat him again this week. I just want to throw that out there. I'm going to keep track of this throughout the entire year because I think it's too good not to. And this is now two tournaments in a row that he's beat him since all this crap has gone down. So just gonna watch that as we go.
I don't know if you heard Morikawa on Pardon My Take, but it was very, very revealing when he was asked about like where does he stand in that hole.
Oh, what'd he say? Man, I heard him on Foreplay. They didn't ask him about it.
He pretty much was like, "Yeah, I'm a big time Bryson guy. Sorry. I'm a big time Brooks guy." And anytime that like Bryson was kind of brought up, he kind of like laughed it off and was like, not that interested.
Yeah.
Like,
that says so much though.
Because I bet like
such a nice, like,
he was so good on that too. He's starting to do a little more like press and stuff. And he is like, He's a cool he's dude.
He well, he's going to the cool Olympics, dude. So he's doing the rounds. He's on yes. Fallon. And he was on Foreplay and part of my take. So like he's making the rounds.
Yeah.
But he
I thought that was interesting.
It's funny because both guys, like, I could see a lot of players not liking, like, both guys, right?
He loved Brooks. Like, he was like, he was very
I just can't get behind either one of them.
Yeah,
he was the more I watch Brooks, the more I see Brooks on stuff, like,
you want to be a Brooks fan.
Oh, I love Brooks. I am a Brooks fan. And the more I watch like stuff with him, the more like it comes up on Instagram and TikTok all the time, like his interviews with Bar My Take and all that stuff. Yeah. Like it's so good. And he's so like, I don't know, man. He just like he doesn't give a shit, but he's also cares so much. Like
exactly.
There's this like divide of like when he's like, I don't play for 6 weeks, man, because like I just want to go like be a normal dude and like drink beers and go out in the wake and like, you know, like, and it's like, there's something that's very relatable while Bryson's probably lifting and swinging as hard as he can. Like, it's just, it's so much more relatable to be like, yo, Brooks, like this guy is easier to root for. Like he doesn't try. Like he
jock
just goes
nerd.
Out. Yeah, exactly. It's just,
it's a classic. So,
I just want to let you know now, from now on, I'll have the Bryson Brooks.
The Brykes. I like that. Something up.
Yeah,
the Brykes detail.
I didn't mean to do that. But
the Brykes deets.
Yeah. Presented by Frank.
Yeah, I like that. That'll be your segment.
Yeah.
Well, shit, boys. I don't know anything else to talk about. John, you got anything? Frank?
I got one quick one.
Okay.
I've referenced.
We should call these instead of saying that. I should just be like final words. Anyone? And
yeah.
That'll be a segment or final.
I like it.
Segment. Yeah.
I like that too.
Yeah. Final words.
The Monday qualifier like info, Twitter account, just unbelievable account. Doing a bunch of writing too. I've obviously talked about them many times, but
yep.
They tweeted this morning. Help needed. Sean Walsh is teeing off in 3.5 hours at the Form A event in Auburn, and his clubs were lost on the flight. So Sean is one
PFP
of the
boy.
Yeah, co-founder of PFP, the Pros for Pros, who we've had on. And I've been following him. He's been playing on that Form A tour. He legit lost his clubs on a flight. And he said that within 15 minutes of that tweet going out, they had four level clubs that he was able to like borrow and play with for the weekend within 15 minutes of that text that tweet going out, which is just so cool to see. But great account, Monday Q.
How do you play?
I don't know. No. I think it's tomorrow. I think it starts tomorrow. But maybe they did go off today. What is today? Today's Wednesday. Yeah, they might have. I didn't see. I just saw that tweet.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
But yeah, pretty funny. When I saw the Sean Walsh, I was like, wait,
I didn't know that guy.
Yeah. Because like you know, you see all the qualifier, you know, it's all these bunch of different names. So he's telling stories about a bunch of different people all over the country at different levels. So
that's cool.
That's all I got.
Final words?
Yeah, final words, dude. I don't know if we talked about this at all in the pod, but NPI and also the Pros guys that obviously they played at Keeney Park. But I don't think we even mentioned that.
The MPI Open.
MPI Open, which obviously Pete was a big part of. So huge shout out. I think it went well. It looked like it went well. Interesting.
That dude went crazy on the second round. I think he was like six
eight
or
under,
seven. Was it eight under?
I think he was a 63 or 64, something like that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And he just fucking dusted the field. But
Yeah,
pretty cool. So that's obviously something that I think we're pretty close to in terms of the two people who put that on. So pretty cool there. But also very interesting, and this is super random. I was on TikTok the other day. I'm going through, I come up on a golfer, and I'm watching it, and he's just like talking about his round, and he played in the MPI Open.
No way.
Oh, no way.
Just a random, like, I was just, again, just.
You know what the name was?
Yeah. So I just pulled up, I started following him because I was going through his content, and he's a kid who went to Rollins College down in, I believe that's Florida.
That's in Florida, yeah.
Mattern went there.
Morgan Egloff is his name. And he literally is just, he's like a, so shout out to Morgan Egloff. He's definitely not listening. However, he's like, it's just super interesting watching the journey of these guys. Like,
yeah,
Evan graduated too. Evan Grannis.
Yeah, Grannis played. And he made the drive up from fucking like Virginia, where he's from. He played in the money qualifier in Maine.
Yeah,
they didn't play well, and then drove down to Hartford and played in the NPI Open. And he talks about it a little bit. And now he's just he's just on a grind, just like traveling around
to
Monday qualifiers and all these mini tours trying to make it off of no money. He's talking about how basically he has no money, and it's just his parents fronted him a couple $1,000 to get a start. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Morgan Egloff, shout out to all those guys trying to do it, because it's clearly just a fucking grind. It is crazy what these guys got to go through to just have a chance, so
it really is. All right, final words for me. I got two things, kind of piggybacking off the MPI thing. We are in the works for a 100-hole hike for Youth on Course.
Let's go.
It is in the books. We haven't figured out a date yet, but keep your eyes open, because we don't really ask a lot out of you guys, but we're going to be asking a lot in the next month or two. We're going to try and raise as much money as we can for these kids. Us three and Pete, I know, are doing the 100-hole hike. There's going to be openings for other people, and it's going to be a really cool experience and for a great cause. If you want to go check them out, I think their handle is YOC Golf, at YOC Golf. Check them out. It's just an awesome cause. Young kids can be a member of this, and they can go play at certain courses for $5. And what we raise for money goes towards that, paying the other fees that we have to for them to be able to go for $5. So super cool cause. And I just want to, and our whole thing is to try and raise awareness here in Connecticut and in New England, and even New York, cause they're not New England.
What a catch.
Just raise awareness and try and get more courses to do it, so kids around here can have the opportunity if they need it. So that's super cool. And then I know Tommy Skaz asked, this is his second shout out here. He won $500 on DraftKings this week.
Come on.
I swear to God. Yeah.
He wants it back.
Yeah. And he was asking us for Rocket Mortgage picks this week. So we're definitely not going to do it. Tommy, keep rolling. Okay. Pick Bryson, because he's probably going to defend. Ricky's a good pick too.
I'm going to say Xander.
So that's it. Bryson, Ricky, and Xander. Tommy, but go with your gut, man, because shout out to you.
He got cut at the Travelers, by the way.
So. Exactly.
Oh, last thing for me, Ronnie.
Final words.
Round two. CT Open next week. Be on the lookout. We're gonna hopefully be doing stuff around the CT Open next week. We plan to do stuff, but it's still kind of in the works, but we'll probably more on the podcast next week, most likely, but next Thursday, CT Open. We'll be hopefully playing down in Darien.
Yeah. There's a definite possibility for a little pro-am. I could show off my pole.
Ooh, I just saw Coach Pete's Instagram post about the YOC golf.
Yeah, I just saw it too. I just
got me a little excited.
It's happening. So.
It's really happening, boys. Yep. We're gonna do some cool things. So let's wrap it up, and we'll leave them on the 19th.
Bang.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. As always, we are produced by Deuce Productions. Shout out to Deuce himself. If you're liking our banter, subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to like us on Instagram at the.lefties.lounge. And if you want to get in touch with us at all, with any questions, comments, or something you'd like to hear us talk about, you can email us at thelefties.loungegolf@gmail.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.